Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's mission meditation is, as you just heard it, especially the 14th verse of that 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. This morning I feel very privileged to be here with you to share with you the Word of God, as God tells us in His Word. And I also bring to you a greeting from the Kisi people of Liberia, West Africa. Last evening they had their normal Thursday evening worship services, and they had prayers for you here at the seminary as you prepare to study God's Word and to go into all nations and preach it. And they have asked me to also share their greetings with you. So this morning I bring you their greetings, and in a group like this, I would greet you this way. Very simple, Laosa. And the word Laosa means to say hello. Hello to a large group of people, and the Kisi people certainly greet you in that way. The word of God this morning is taken from that 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and the 14th verse. And we find that in this world today there is a wide interest among people as to exactly when the end of the world is going to take place. They ask questions like, will it be sooner or later? And even for the Christian, there is a great concern as to exactly when Jesus is going to return again and to claim those that belong to Him. And many Christians' prophetic Bible conferences are held each year all around the world to try to determine exactly when that end is going to come. And they look all over for the reasons in the newspapers, the radio reports. They watch the signs that God has promised will come. And yet this morning in our text, we find the clearest statement in God's Word as to exactly when His Son Jesus is going to return again. You see, in the chapter 24 of Matthew, we find Jesus and His disciples gathered around. And just previous to this, Jesus had prophesied the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And His disciples were all upset because they knew that when this destruction took place, this was going to be the end of the world for them. And they asked Jesus this question, "Tell us, when will this be, and what shall be the sign of Your coming and the close of the age?" And Jesus took the next 11 verses in the 24th chapter, and He described for His disciples exactly what you heard just a moment ago. He said that this age is going to remain an evil age, an age that all of us must live in, but it will have evil inside. He says that the love of many will grow cold, that famines and earthquakes will happen, that persecution will take place, that many false messiahs will come, and they will claim to be the true Christ, but they will not be the Christ that has been promised. He says believers will suffer hatred. And then He comes to that 14th verse, the 14th verse in which He tells His disciples, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And this morning, I hear Jesus telling us in His Word, there are three things here that we need to consider. First of all, there's a message, that message of the victory that Jesus has won for us as Christians on the cross, and not only on the cross, but also through the resurrection, that Jesus has been victorious over enemies that we try to fight each and every day in our lives, enemies like death. It hits every one of us sooner or later, loved ones and friends and relatives, and even ourselves, death. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that it has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And the word that Paul uses here, abolish, from the Greek, means to put out of action, to take care of, to no longer have to worry about, to break the power of, and that's what Jesus has done. That's what Jesus has done for us and is doing for Christians all over the world. And when I speak of all over the world, we find these enemies like death intruding in everybody's life all over the world, including those of the Kisii people. Everywhere we go, we find the grave swallowing us up. There are tears of loss, tears of separation. There is that strain that is on everybody's face who has lost a loved one because of separation. It doesn't matter, sooner or later, there's going to be a chair that will be sitting empty next to each and every one of us because of a death of our friends and family. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or you're poor. It doesn't matter whether you are famous or not so famous. It doesn't matter whether you have lots of power or not very much power. The fact still remains for each and every one of us as human beings that death reigns. But Christ says we're no longer bound to this. He says that our chains are no longer around our ankles, but rather we are freed by Christ. And he makes the same reference also to other enemies that we find in our daily living. They are sin and Satan. And also we hear from the writer of Hebrews, chapter 2, that through death he might destroy him, that is Jesus, who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we know this, that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. And in both of these scripture passages, we find Paul and the writer of Hebrews using the same word in reference to death. That word abolish, to destroy, to put out of action, to break the power of. And that's the victory message. That's the message of Jesus Christ that Jesus was speaking about in the 14th verse. And this gospel, the good news that Christ has redeemed the world. But also this morning, there's a mission, as well as a message, a mission. And this mission is that this gospel of the kingdom, this good news of the victory that Jesus has won for us, must be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And this is our mission. Notice I said our mission. It's our mission, not because we're pastors and professors and students studying to be pastors. But it's our mission because Christ has given it to us as redeemed sinners. And he has said to go and take it, not to wait until you become an ordained pastor, or not to wait until you become a professor, but to do it right now as a student studying his word. This is our mission. And this text this morning is what I believe to be one of the most important in all of God's Word to truly try to understand what history is all about. Because there we know that history is God's redemptive act in the world. And I don't need to remind you that today mankind has developed the power to blow up the world 20 times over. And these thoughts are beginning to make men think questions like this. What is history all about? And why is man on this earth? And where is he going? And they search all over for answers to these questions. And yet they forget to look in the most obvious place, and that is God's Word. Because in God's Word, we know that there is, throughout the 66 books, a common thread woven between each book, that God's redemptive work in the world is being done. And first of all, because of the Old Testament, we know that God gave this work to the Jews, his chosen people. And they turned it back and said they didn't want it. And then God turned right around and he gave it to his Christians, his Gentiles, his church. And he said, now go. Go and preach this gospel to all nations. And this has become a staggering fact to us because it's hard for us to believe that God has entrusted such a great mission like this to us, mankind, the redeemed sinners. We say to ourselves, why didn't God come down and send a host of angels to envelop the earth, and within a second or two, or maybe even sooner, he could have told the entire world about the good news, that message of his Son, Jesus Christ. But he didn't do it that way. God chose not to do it that way, but rather he has entrusted that mission to us, his people, his church. And here are the facts. The facts are, unless we go and do it, it simply just won't get done. God didn't give us as Christians the option to go. He didn't make mission work an option for us, but he rather made it an obligation for us as Christians to go and preach the gospel to all nations as a testimony of what we believe. And finally, this morning, Jesus didn't leave us without a motive. There's a reason why there's a message, and there's a reason why there's a mission to go and preach that message. It's a motive. A motive that Christ says is going to happen one of these days. And the motive is very simple. And then the end will come. The theme of our message this morning is the end will come someday. I, for one, cannot set dates. I don't know when he's coming. I've heard all sorts of rumors again from the Christian community out there. It's going to be 3 years, 1987, the latest date that I've heard. But I can't set that kind of a date. But yet, I do know when Jesus is coming, and I can be very satisfied with that, because he tells us that when we go and preach his gospel to all nations as a testimony, when that work has been completed, the end will come. So why didn't Christ return in the year 500 AD? It's simple. The church hadn't finished its task of going and evangelizing the world. Why didn't Christ return in the year 1000 AD? Simply because the church had not finished its task of telling people throughout the world that Christ died and rose again for them. Is he coming soon? I believe he is. I believe that Jesus is coming soon because I have been in the world and I have seen what the Holy Spirit, through the people of Christ, are doing to people out there like the Kisi people. And to think about that, that the end is coming soon, but yet there's still a lot of work to be done. Over half the world is left unevangelized. Over half the world doesn't even know the name of Jesus Christ. And people have a hard time believing that it's their task to do. People have a hard time believing that God has said, this is your obligation to me as your God. But yet it is. There was a man by the name of William Carey, lived approximately 250 years ago. He read the text that was read for you this morning, and he understood what God was saying to him. And he got up and he went to a group of people, and he presented to them what he wanted to do. He wanted to go to India, and he wanted to go and preach Christ to the Indians in India. And he presented a great thing that he wanted to do. And the people said, sit down, young man. Sit down, young man. When God wants to evangelize the world, he will do it himself. And I know that those people didn't read Matthew 24, the 14th verse, because they truly didn't understand that God made it an obligation for them as Christians to go and preach the message of that victory that Jesus won. But William Carey understood, because he didn't listen to them, and he got up, and he went to India, and he began what became the modern-day era of mission work only 250 years ago. The church is coming to have a birthday, 2,000 years old. And only 250 years ago did we become active in worldwide mission work, and we've come a long way. And that's how come I feel that Christ is coming soon, because we have more things today than we've ever had. Fast airplanes, good computers, things like that that can help us to teach the Word of God to the people. So this is the motive of our mission, to preach the message on a mission outreach to the world. And then the end will come. There is no other verse in the Word of God that I have found that speaks about the end coming like this one. So his disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age? And Jesus answered his disciples, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then Jesus said, and then the end will come. When is the end coming? When we finish the task that God has given to us as Christians. And I pray for God's blessings upon each and every one of you as you reach out to do the task that God has given you to do. Amen.